Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I'm so excited to share the word with you guys today. I'm very honored. It's always such a privilege to preach the word. And the text I'll be preaching from, the scripture I'll be preaching from, has been on my heart for the last few weeks now, and I pray that this word will encourage us. How many of us want to be encouraged by the word today? Hey? And I pray that this word will just help us realign to what really matters in the kingdom of God. To help us realign to what matters to God. To help us seek after the things of God. And the scripture I'll be preaching from, the text that I'll be preaching from, comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's a popular scripture. It's a well-known verse, and I'll be reading from the ESV. It should be on the screens behind me, and it says this. But seek first, everybody say first, the kingdom of God. Everybody say kingdom of God. And his righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Pneuma Church, I want to speak to you today from the title of The Holy Pursuit. The Holy Pursuit. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Having fun there. But before we unpack the scripture, I want to give us a bit of background. You see, this text comes from the greatest sermon that ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses three spiritual disciplines and how to do it properly with the right heart and the right motive. He tells his listeners that when you give, he tells his listeners that when you pray, when you fast, by the way, it says when, not if. So there's this expectation for us as disciples to practice this discipline. He tells them that when you give, or when you pray, when you fast, to not do it for public applause, but to do it in secret where your Heavenly Father sees you. He goes on to tell us to not lay up treasures on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven. And starting from verse 25, Jesus tells us not to be anxious about our lives. How many of us know that's a word for us right now? Not to be anxious about our lives. Not to worry about what we're going to eat. Not to worry about what we're going to drink. Not to worry about what we're going to wear. But instead, he gives us this directive. He gives us this instruction. He gives us this command. He has given us something to pursue. And in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And so today, we're going to unpack on what it means to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What it means for us as disciples to go on this holy pursuit. And Pneuma Church, I want us to take this text seriously. I want us to take this command seriously because Jesus has made this pursuit a priority. He's made this pursuit a priority. He didn't say seek last the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so as disciples, we have to make this pursuit a priority. Amen? You see, the word seek in Greek is the word zeteo. Everybody say zeteo. And zeteo simply means to seek in order to find. And so as disciples, God wants his kingdom and his righteousness to be found in our lives. God wants his kingdom and his righteousness to be evident in our lives. God wants his kingdom and his righteousness to be reflected in our lives. And in this pursuit that Jesus gives us, church, he gives us two things to seek after. His kingdom and his righteousness. His kingdom and his righteousness. And so if we're going to be a people who go on this holy pursuit, we must be people who seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God. And to seek first the kingdom of God begins with us having an eternal mindset. It begins with having a kingdom mindset. Matthew 6:19 tells us to not lay up treasures for ourselves here on earth, temporal, but to lay up treasures in heaven, eternal. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 and 2 tells us this. Since then you have been raised with Christ. How many of us know that's a good word right there? We've been raised with Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. It goes on to tell us to set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And so in both texts, church, we are called not to pursue the things of this world, but to pursue the things of God. Amen? Amen. To set our hearts on things above. To set our minds on things above. To not pursue earthly ambition, but to pursue heaven's agenda. To not pursue earthly ambition, but to pursue heaven's agenda. And if we're going to be a people who seek his kingdom, Pneuma Church, we gotta be people who carry an eternal perspective. Why? Because although we live here on earth, Pneuma Church, although we live in the western suburbs, I live in Werribee, we are people, sons and daughters of the Most High, who have a citizenship in the kingdom of God. Although we live here on earth, we are citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 tells us this, but our citizenship is in heaven. But you know, in this context, Paul is saying to follow his example, to follow how he lives in straining towards the goal, to continue to walk in the calling of God, seeking the eternal matters. Because those who didn't became an enemy of the cross. Their end is destruction because they have set their minds on earthly things. Philippians 3:17 says this. This is Paul speaking. Brothers, join me in imitating me. This is what Paul is saying. Join me in imitating me and keep your eyes to those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many in whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears. So as Paul is writing this, and as Paul is writing about these people, he's crying, he's sharing tears. And now tell you, even with tears, walk as the enemy of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Then he goes on to say that our citizenship is in heaven. And so as citizens, it's our duty to be about the kingdom of God. It's our duty to be about the kingdom of God, to set our hearts and minds beyond the things of this world, to walk in the calling of God, to have an eternal perspective about our lives, to not chase the things that are temporal, things that will perish, to not pursue on earthly treasures or earthly satisfaction, but to live a life that gives heavenly rewards. Seeking first the kingdom of God, Pneuma Church, requires investing in the things that matter in heaven. It requires investing in things that matter in heaven. Pneuma Church, I want to ask us the question, where is your heart mostly invested in? Where is your mind mostly invested in? Hello. Is your heart set on things above, or is it set on earthly things? Is your mind set on things above, or is it set on earthly things? Can I encourage us? Let's set our lives on things above. Can I encourage us to seek the kingdom of God with every aspect of our lives? To seek the kingdom of God in our marriage, to seek the kingdom of God in our families, to seek the kingdom of God in our ministry, to seek the kingdom of God in our business, to seek the kingdom of God in our finances. Is that okay, church? Not only that, but seeking the kingdom of God means also to advance the kingdom of God. Matthew 28:19 tells us this, and Jesus came to them and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, my church, if we're going to be a people who go on this holy pursuit to seeking first the kingdom of God, then we also got to be people who also advances the kingdom of God. We got to be warriors who take territory for the kingdom. Mark 16:15 tells us this, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." As citizens of the kingdom of God, as citizens of heaven, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to proclaim the gospel, to disciple people, to baptize people, to teach people, and take territory for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. If we are to seek the kingdom of God, then we got to add to the kingdom of God. Right. If we are to seek the kingdom of God, then we've got to add to the kingdom of God. Seeking the kingdom of God not only means to invest in things that matter in heaven, to have an eternal perspective, to have our hearts on things above, to have our minds on things above, but seeking the kingdom of God means also to have a missional mindset. We need to have a missional mindset. Church, I want to ask us the question, what can we do now in order to advance the kingdom of God? What can we do now in our everyday lives to advance the kingdom of God? Maybe for some of us, it's serving in a team. Maybe for some of us, it's starting a life group. Maybe for some of us, it's sowing financially into mission. And maybe for some of us, it's simply witnessing to our friends and family. In our school, in our workplaces, in our sporting activities. Can I encourage us? Let's make Jesus' last command our first priority. This is the holy pursuit, church. Not only that, but in this text, Jesus also calls us to seek his righteousness. Seek his righteousness. And seeking his righteousness is not a then, but it's an and. In other words, it's not second to seeking the kingdom, but it's equal priority and importance. We cannot be about the kingdom of God if we ain't about living a righteous life. Hello. We cannot be about the kingdom of God if we ain't about living a righteous life. Seeking his righteousness is the culture to seeking the kingdom, the mission. And so what does it mean to seek his righteousness? What does it mean to live a life of righteousness? Well, in the Cambridge and Merriam-Webster dictionary, to be righteous means to be morally right. To be righteous means to be morally correct. But in biblical terms, Pneuma Church, to be righteous means to be in right standing with God. In conduct and in relationship. To be right standing with him in conduct and in relationship. One of the commentaries says it like this: righteousness means right alignment. How good is that? Righteousness means right alignment. His righteousness means harmony with his kingdom and his standards. And so with that meaning, we are not called to harmonize with the culture of this world, but to align our lives to the standards of Christ. We're not called to harmonize with the culture of this world, but to align our lives to the standards of Christ. Romans 12:2 tells us this: do not be conformed to this world. Other translation says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 tells us this, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And so, Pneuma Church, I want to remind us, I want to encourage us that we are not called to live as the world lives, but we are called to live a life set apart for God. We're called to live a life holy for God. We're called to live a life consecrated for God. To seek His righteousness means to be in right standing with God. It means to live a life in right alignment with His will. Is this helping anybody? You know, in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus addresses the three spiritual disciplines, bear with me, my iPad just turned off. Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus addresses this spiritual disciplines, the term hypocrite is used widely in this text. He tells his listeners to beware in practicing righteousness before people. He tells us not to be like the hypocrites, seeking validation and reward from the public. Matthew 6 verse 1 says this, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And then verse 3 goes on to say that when you give to the needy, there it is, when. Okay, so there's this expectation for us as disciples. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Matthew chapter 6 verse 5 to 6 says this, and when you pray, there it is again, when you pray, so there's this expectation, do not be like the hypocrites, there's that word again, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. To do what? To be seen by them. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 18, verse 16 to 18 says this, when you fast, again, there's that expectation. When you fast, do not look somber. Here's the word again, as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting, okay? They want to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know the word hypocrite in the Greek is called hypocrites. And it simply means to be an actor. It simply means to act, to be a stage player, to be a pretender. And in Matthew 6:33, Jesus gives us this directive. He gives us this command to seek first His righteousness. And so, church, God wants more than just an outward appearance of righteousness. He wants more than just an outward appearance of righteousness. God wants more than just the performance. Come on. God wants more than just us practicing righteous deeds. God is not calling us to be pretenders and to be pretending to be righteous. He's calling us to pursue righteousness with our lives. Come on, somebody. He's calling us to pursue righteousness with our lives. He wants more than just acting. He wants us to live it out. He wants us to live it out. He wants us to pursue it. He wants us to seek it with our lives. Seeking His righteousness is more than just ticking off a list. It's a daily commitment and it's a lifelong pursuit. It's a lifelong pursuit. And in order for us to pursue righteousness, Pneuma Church, in order for us to seek His righteousness, it begins with our salvation. It begins with our salvation. It begins with the work of Jesus Christ. For righteousness is a gift given from God through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 verse 22 says this, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. The NLT version says it like this, we are made right with God. We are made right standing with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand that righteousness cannot be claimed on our own. For none of us is righteous. Newsflash, none of us is righteous. Romans 3:10 says this, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. Yes. Not one. The NASB version says this, as it is written in capital letters, there is no righteous person, not even one. And so righteousness does not come from us. No matter how many good works we do, no matter how many times we go to church, it does not come for us. Righteousness can only come from God. Philippians 3 verse 9 says this, and be found in Him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says this, He saved us, not because of the work done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 to 5 says this, but God, everybody say, but God, being rich in His mercy because of His great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then verse 8 goes on to tell us that it's by grace that we have been saved. This is not our own doing, as Keely was saying in communion, but it's the gift. It's the gift of God. His righteousness is a loving gift to us. It comes because of His great love. It comes because of His great mercy. Pneuma Church, seeking His righteousness begins with receiving His salvation. Seeking His righteousness begins with receiving His salvation. It begins with the work of God, but it continues with your participation. All right? It may begin with God, but it continues with your participation. And so although righteousness does not begin with us, Jesus still calls us to seek after it, to continually pursue it, to continually live it out. And if we're going to live out righteousness, if we're going to continue seeking His righteousness, we must let our lives be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. Because whatever God calls us to do, we cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own skills, in our own talents, in our own experience. We need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 26 to 27 says this, and I will give you a new heart. And I will give you a new spirit. And I will put it within you. And I will remove the heart from stone of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put in my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute and to be careful to obey in my rules. We need the Spirit's empowerment. Even Jesus, when He's speaking to His disciples, before going out and advancing the kingdom of God, He tells them to wait until you have been filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 1:8, He tells His disciples to wait because you need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. One of the articles I read says this, to continue seeking first His righteousness, we must let God's Spirit transform our hearts and our minds. so that our will aligns with God. And it will align with God's will, and our actions begin to reflect His holiness. It's not about external obedience or legal observance of the law, but an eternal posture of submission and dependence on the Lord. It means that we look for every opportunity to let God rule and reign over our lives, surrendering our ambitions, desires, and plans to Him. In order for us to live out righteousness requires the empowering of the Holy Spirit. For God to continue to mold us into the man and woman of God that He's called us to be, for Him to continue to shape us into the man and woman He's called us to be. Pneuma Church, I want to ask us a question. What can we do now in order to live a righteous life? What can we do now in order to live a righteous life? Which area in our lives can we position ourselves in order to be in right standing with God, to be in right alignment of His will? Can I encourage us? With every aspect of your life, pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness. Can I get an amen? Amen. Psalm 1 verse 1 and 2 says this, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law meditates day and night. Seeking first his righteousness, church, is a lifelong pursuit that begins with the work of Jesus Christ, but is continued with our participation. To live a life not in the counsel of the wicked, to live a life not in the way of sinners, to live a life not in the seat of scoffers, but the one who delights in the Lord, the one who prioritizes the things of God. So what do we know? Is this helping anybody? What do we know? If I can get my iPad to turn on again. What do we know? What do we know? We know this. Seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness is a priority in our lives. Amen? Seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness is a priority in our lives. Number two, seeking the kingdom of God requires eternal perspective. Seeking the kingdom of God requires us to have a missional mindset. Seeking His righteousness means to live a life in right standing with God. And seeking His righteousness also understands that it begins with God. If I can get the band to come up. It's so important, church, to understand that seeking His kingdom and His righteousness go hand in hand. It goes hand in hand. That we're not only people who have an eternal perspective and a missional mindset, but we also live a life of purity. That we live a life of holiness. That we strive to live a life of consecration. That we live and pursue a life of righteousness. Because here's the deal, Pneuma Church. Because although the church is a place for us to gather, it's a place for us for fellowship, it's a place for empowering and equipping to advance the kingdom of God, the church is also a bride to be prepared. You see, Jesus is coming back. And He's coming back for His church. He's coming back for His bride. And He's not coming back for a wicked church. He's coming back for a righteous one. He's coming back for a righteous one. Ephesians 5:27 says this, so that we might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot, without wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Numa Church, I want us to take this command from the Lord seriously. He has given us something to seek. He has put a priority on it. He has called us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Let that be a holy pursuit in our lives. Let that be a priority in our lives. Let that be a focus in our lives. And as we read on, we see that in this verse, there's also a promise in there. There's also a promise that if we prioritize the things of God, that if we take care of the Father's business, He will take care of our business. Amen? That if we take care of God's business, He will take care of our business. Matthew 6:33 tells us this, that as we seek first His kingdom, as we seek first His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you. You see, when Jesus calls us to focus on the things above, I want to let us know, church, He's not dismissing our needs. He's not dismissing our needs. God knows our needs. God knows that we may be in a season of adversity. God knows that some of us are in a season of hardships. God knows that some of us are in a season of trials and tribulation. God knows what we need. But God does not want our lives to be cursed with worry. God does not want our lives to be cursed with worry. Instead, He wants us as His children to trust in Him as His Father. He wants us as His children to trust in Him as His Father, to seek Him, to have faith in Him. Amen? You know, church, as I was praying and preparing for this message, the one thing I felt the Lord, that He wants to say to us as a church, is that He's our Father. He's our Father. You know, the God that we serve, the God that we sing about, the God that we worship, the God that we praise is our Heavenly Father. And you know, this title is such a beautiful title. No other God carries this title, the title of a father. You know, the title of the Father represents relationship. It represents intimacy. It represents connection. And our God is not just the God of Creator of heaven and earth, but our God is a good, good Father who knows our needs. Our God is a good, good Father who is for us and not against us. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, Numa Church, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first His righteousness. Seek the Lord and let the Father do the rest. Let the Father do the rest. Do what we got to do and let Him fulfill the promises of these things shall be added on to you. Why don't we stand?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.